the hard ship. I waited until the end of the year to tackle this ship because I didn't want anyone to get discouraged. Amen. Job chapter number 1. Many of you are familiar with this story already, but we'll be in this book here today and then the Sunday after Christmas talking about the hardship. You notice it's almost at the bottom there. Try to conceal it from your eyesight so you wouldn't see it. Amen. But it is there. Many of the other ships we've already sailed in. And so now it comes time at the end of the year for the hardship. How many of y'all are ready for hardships? Amen. They say you're either coming out of the hardship, in the midst of a hardship, or going into the hardship. Amen. But they're always going to be there. Job chapter number 1, Job is very familiar with those. As we read right now, he is not, but he is about to become familiar with the hardship. Amen. Satan has posed a challenge to God that he wants to tempt and test Job and see if he can get Job to curse God. Amen. And verse number 6, and we're going to read responsively. I'll read the even verses and you read the odd verses with me. Here we go. Starting in verse number 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them." Read with me. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." So hence the hardship is about to be entered into by Job. Put yourself in that situation. Perhaps you are about to be entering into the hardship, or maybe you're in the midst of the hardship, or you're about to come out of the hardship. What was your experience like? Were you able to hold your integrity and not curse God? Very few can do that. Very few. I'm so glad that we serve a God of grace and a God of mercy. I've faced many hardships, and I can't say that I have successfully sailed that sea. But I can tell you this, I know I'll sail it again. And I know you'll sail it again. Amen. And so we must needs look at the hardship and glean some things from Job's life over the next couple of times that we'll talk about this. And I do trust and pray that when the hardship is done, you and I can come forth as gold like Job did, and be twice as blessed as before going in the hardship. Amen. Because God wants to use your circumstances in your life and the circumstances in my life to make us more like his son, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for what you've given us here by the way of this Saint Job, what he has meant to many down through the ages that have entered into the hardship. And I thank God that we can look at his life and we can glean from his life and we can learn from his life things to do and maybe things not to do. God, help us as we know that some are in the midst of hardships now. Some are just coming out of hardships and some are going into hardships. Lord, I pray that you use the things that we discuss to be an encouragement to us, not a discouragement, that we may, Lord, abide in the hardship. And Lord, that we could come forth as gold. We thank God that we have the Holy Spirit to work in us, the Word of God to guide us, and good Christian brethren to support us through the hardships of life. And Lord, as we look at this ship today, I pray if there's one here that's never been born again, they've never trusted Christ as Savior, that man, that woman, that boy or girl would trust Christ as their Savior today. The Bible is clear, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The greatest hardship that we could have sailed in would be the one of Christless, Christlessness, where we don't have Christ, and we go to eternity without Christ. Lord, so I pray that if we're embarking on that ship and not having Jesus Christ, that we might get saved before it's everlasting too late. And for Christians, Lord, that are saved, that are going through hardships, help us to trust you a little bit more than we have before. We may come forth as gold. Lord, bless now the remainder of the service, that you may get all praise, honor, and glory. Bless in the children's area and the song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And we do have a special.
Lord, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone His holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, our humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. When I was a seeker, I sought both night and day. I sought the Lord to help me, and He showed me the way. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Go tell it on the mountain. All right, children, you are dismissed. You can go ahead and go with the Holmes. I got it right that time, brother. I didn't say you go ahead and go with the Neils. Amen. The Holmes. Praise God. Amen. All right. We are about to get into the hardship. Amen. You know, one of the worst things about the hardship is the voyage. You know, you can talk about the hardship, and it's not a problem. You can look at the hardship, and it's not a problem. But the minute you get in, I'm not on. Sorry. I'm in the hardship now. Amen. All right, hardship with my sound, man. All right, now I'm on. Good. All right, the minute you get into the hardship, conditions change. You can talk about the hardship. You can talk about what you want to do when you get in a hardship. You can talk about how faithful you're going to be when you get in a hardship. You can do a whole lot of talking and a whole lot of looking, but as soon as you get in that ship and you buckle down, guess what? Conditions change. Conditions change. Things begin to happen in that hardship. I mean, the ship begins to rock and roll. Your stomach gets upset and things just take a turn for the worse, it seems. And I don't know about you, but I don't like hardships. The book of Job has the overriding theme of, will we serve God through tribulation and adversity, even though it may seem He is not blessing? That's the overriding theme, amen. Will we continue to serve God, or we curse God and die like Job's wife said, amen? By the way, Warren Wiersbe says this, when it appears that God is not working as you think He should, be patient and let Him do His will in His time, amen? Because oftentimes we think God doesn't see, He doesn't care, I'm in this hardship all by myself. And by the way, you're never in the hardship by yourself. God is always there with you. Amen. He said, I will never what? Leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. And so our Christianity is not shown by announcing that we are saved, but by showing that we are saved, especially when the hardships come. Amen. Anybody can live for God when the going is good. Amen. But let the chips get down, let the money go down, let the children go down, let my health go down, let my payments go down, let my income go down, let all those things come down, let my car break down, let the house get broke in, amen, and conditions quickly change. God, where you at and what you doing? Obviously nothing for me. And that's how we charge God unfairly. Job finds himself in that type of a situation here, and as we enter this ship, will eventually see three aspects of the hardship. Number one, Job's walk before the hardship. Number two, Job's woes in the hardship. And then number three, Job's worship despite the hardship. That's what we'll eventually see. Now, we won't see that today. We're going to see some other things today. Amen. So the book of Job chronicles the struggles of Job and his friends to answer the age-old question, why am I suffering? You ever asked that question before? Amen. I know I have. Everyone goes through hardships, and not just Christians. By the way, Chris, after you left Belgium, I suffered a hardship. I tried to stay another term. As you know, I was already there for 10 years. Amen. And I had hurt my back. And because I hurt my back, they said, it's impossible for you to stay here in Belgium. And so I had to leave. To me, that was a hardship. Leaving NATO, leaving Belgium, leaving my church, leaving my pastor, leaving my friends, leaving Franz, amen. Leaving Carson, leaving all those guys. Now, eventually, they all left anyway, amen. And to me, that was a hardship. I didn't want to leave. Pastor Bennett even left, so I'd have really been in a hardship then, amen. And so we look at these things. We ask, why am I suffering? By the way, everyone goes through hardships, not just Christians. However, God uses many hardships to bring us closer to himself in trust. Concerning hardships, Oswald Chambers states this, we were not made for the mountains, but for the valleys, because that's where people live. Amen. Thomas Ward states this concerning hardships, just about the time we think our future is predictably bright, an obstacle to our peace and happiness appears on the horizon, and we are bewildered again. You ever go there, amen? You just come out of the hardship, man. I mean, you set sail, you put up the sails there, I mean, and you got the rudder going, yeah, life is good, yeah, and you're just cruising along, and all of a sudden something else happens. You think, what now? What now? And then you get bogged down all over again. Could it be that God is trying to teach us something? The definition for hardship is this. It is a thing or circumstance that causes ongoing or persistent suffering. It is difficulty or pain. It's a condition of life that's difficult to endure, difficult to bear, or difficult to handle. It's lacking necessities or comforts due to suffering. That's the definition of hardship when you look it up. Say that again. A thing or circumstance that causes ongoing or persistent suffering, difficulty, or pain. A condition of life that's difficult to endure, bear, or handle, it's lacking necessities or comforts due to suffering. Oh, by the way, let me quantify something here. A hardship is different from an inconvenience. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Let's distinguish a hardship from an inconvenience. An inconvenience is when your cable goes out. That is not a hardship. An inconvenience is one of your four TVs won't work. That's an inconvenience. Now you got to go downstairs and watch TV, or you got to go into the other room. You got to take your child's television, amen? An inconvenience is when your telephone won't work. That's an inconvenience, amen? I'm glad when mine doesn't work, amen? I don't get any texts or calls, amen? An inconvenience is when one of your nails cracks. You've got nine others. An inconvenience is when one of your 20 outfits gets stained. You got to send it to the cleaners. An inconvenience is when you get a run in your stockings or a hole in your socks. Amen. That's an inconvenience. Amen. Both of those happened to me this morning. I pulled my socks on and my wife says, you pull them with too much force. And I pulled them and they ripped. Amen. Got a hole in my sock. That was an inconvenience because now I had to go and change my socks. And then on the way to church, my daughter had a hole in her stockings, a run in her stockings. Amen. You can't have runny stockings. Amen. Amen, ladies. Some ladies say, yeah, I get away with it all the time. Amen. That's an inconvenience. Amen. And so a dishwasher breaking down, lo and behold, is an inconvenience. A microwave breaking down is an inconvenience. Say, preacher, why is a dishwasher breaking down inconvenience? Because you have children to wash dishes. Amen. Amen, boys. Amen. Children can still wash dishes. Amen. Hey, I remember when I was a child, we got the little high stool. We got up there. It was me and my three sisters. Somebody washed, someone dried, and someone put them away. Amen. It was assembly line. You wash, you rinse, you dry, and put them, and we handed those dishes down. Boom, boom, boom. Then dishwashers came in. And children have forgotten how to wash dishes. Let me stop that. They never even started. Why? You just take them and throw them in the dishwasher. Amen. Hey, that is an inconvenience. That is not a hardship when that happens. Amen. Lo and behold, when the washer and the dryer break down, that's an inconvenience. Now you got to go down to the laundromat and spend some quarters. Amen. Or the old-fashioned way, get your bucket and wash them in the tub. Amen. Hey, that's what they used to do back in the day. Preacher, that's a hardship. I can't do that. Amen. Us Americans, we are so spoiled. We are so spoiled. We really are. That's an inconvenience. Hardship is cancer. Hardship is the death of a loved one. That's a hardship. Hardship is the death of someone that is the sole breadwinner and no one else has income. A hardship is a loss of job when the only breadwinner is there. Hardship is a wayward child. Hardship is a divorce. Those are hardships. These other things are just inconveniences. They're inconveniences. And so we've got to really separate in our life when we call ourselves having a hardship. Is it really a hardship or is it just an inconvenience? Is it just a setback? Is it just something that's going to cause me a little bit more worry? Because I'm sure if you and I look through God's microscope, he wouldn't quantify hardships the way you and I quantify hardships. Amen. By the way, I thought I was going through a hardship when I was 18 when my hair fell out. Guess what? You can do a whole lot of things without hair. Somebody say amen. You can do a whole lot of things out here. When I met Chris, I didn't have hair. When I met my wife, I had hair. Then it fell out. Amen. But you can do a whole lot of things without hair. You do a lot of things with them too. Amen. But I save on haircuts. I save on shampoo. I save on grooming. Hair grooming, that is. Amen. And so there's a whole lot of things that we might consider a hardship that's really not a hardship. Job is facing a hardship. He's about to face a hardship. And let me tell you some familiar hardships that many of us at some point in life or another may be in. The financial hardship is tough when you don't have the income you used to have. There's the bodily or physical hardship when your body starts to break down. The emotional hardship when your emotions are out of control, that can be a hardship. The educational hardship, amen. Children think that's a hardship every day, amen. The occupational hardship when my job fires me or terminates or my position changes and I'm out of a job. There's the parental hardship when parenting seems to get increasingly harder to do, especially in a day and age when they don't want you to use corrective measures that the Bible deems appropriate, amen. And so you can be in the parental hardship or the marital hardship when things just aren't working out between you and your spouse. There could be the relational hardship that you're in. Relationships just seem tough all over. Amen. Or the mental or psychological hardship where mentally I'm not what I used to be or psychologically I'm not what I used to be. That can be a hardship. Medical or dental can be a hardship as well, just to name a few. Most of these hardships are tied to our spiritual hardship because we're tested spiritually in our faith to trust God through the hardship. By the way, everything runs through your spiritual walk with God. Everything. Even the hardship. The Bible uses a word that you and I are familiar with in dealing with hardships. It's called tribulation. tribulation. Tribulation is a biblical word that deals with hardships. I don't know about you, but tribulation is a word that I really like to stay away from. Say, preacher, what does tribulation mean? It's affliction or anguish. It's to be burdened. It means to be persecuted. It means to be troubled. It's pressure, whether it's figuratively, whether it's literally. Tribulation. This morning, we're going to note some things associated with a hardship as we follow the word tribulation in the New Testament before getting into our outline of Job, and then we'll come back with Job after we see that tribulation is not just appointed to Job. It's appointed to all of us. And by the way, the Lord makes it to rain on the just as well as the unjust. Equally, everybody gets the sun. The just and the unjust gets the sun. You and I are not unique to tribulation. You and I are not unique to trials and troubles. The people that don't know God have troubles as well. You hear about earthquakes all around the world. Many of these people don't know God. You hear of natural disasters and fires, and you hear of hurricanes and all these things, and typhoons and tsunamis and places around the world. And these people are subjected to hardships just like you and I. The difference is they don't have God. We do. And the difference is God is testing us, whereas oftentimes he's trying to get their attention. And so I want us to look at some things associated with a hardship in the New Testament by looking at this word called tribulation. Again, tribulation, the definition says it's affliction or anguish. It's to be burdened, persecuted, troubled. It's pressure. I mean, y'all like pressure. My son plays basketball with Empire High School. And one of the things that I tell him, I said, son, if you play tight defense on people, if you pressure them, Pastor White, what normally happens? They throw the ball away. Why? Because people oftentimes can't take pressure. And so if you put pressure on them, you get a football receiver, you put pressure on him in tight coverage, oftentimes he gets frustrated. In basketball, you put the pressure on him and you begin to press them. They begin to panic and they throw the ball away. I dare say when it comes to Christians, we do the same thing. God allows a little bit of pressure to come in on us, and we begin to throw the ball away, the ball of life. We begin to do things that we normally wouldn't do. We begin to make decisions that we normally wouldn't make because we're under pressure now. And that pressure causes you to make a mistake. But when you're firmly fixing the Word of God, guess what? You stick with the stuff. You stick with the stuff. That's why it's so important to be firmly grounded and planted in the Word of God. Why? Pressure's going to come. Life is not going to wait for you to get spiritually fit. Life is not going to wait for you to get your act together. Life is not going to wait for you to get it all done. Life is not going to wait for you to be spiritually sound. Life's going to come and continue to come and continue to come whether you're ready for it or not. So you might as well be ready. You might as well get ready. You may not be like Job, my friend, but I'm telling you, it's coming. Tribulation's headed your way. Let me share with you a few things from the New Testament in regards to this word tribulation, because this is where our hardship is going to be. John chapter 16 and verse 33, turn over there with me. And by the way, if you can't turn there quick enough, don't worry, amen, because we're going to read several verses this morning. I don't expect you to get to all of them. Jesus, right before he gives his priestly prayer in John chapter 17, ends chapter 16 in a way that would make you and I cringe. And he's talking about in the world, we're going to have hardships. Notice verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have, what's that word? Tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the what? The world, amen. He says, don't marvel at this. In me, you can have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And if you're in me, you're an overcomer, amen. I can be an overcomer in Christ. I can be a super Nike, amen. I can be a victor. I can rise above the challenges, amen. And I can be the victor. The word world there has the idea of the organized system of activities Satan has set in place to distract you and I from doing the will of God. Amen. And by the way, it's not always bad. You can be distracted doing good things from the will of God. Amen. You can. Hey, a wife has many responsibilities in the home. Amen. But guess what? If she's distracted from that number one priority, which is God first and then husband second, guess what? She can be distracted from doing the will of God because there are a lot of good things that call for her attention. Hey, husband's the same for you. Amen. You can call away from that number one priority of God, that number two priority of your wife. By the way, your children are not number two in your life. They're number three. Amen. Although children like to think they're number one, they're not. In God's order, there's structure. God's first, the husband, the wife, and the children. That wife is that man's second priority and vice versa for the wife. And the devil will get us distracted doing good things, amen. The moment we attempt God's will in the world, we'll face tribulation. But Jesus said here, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He says, in me, you might have peace. What does he want? He wants our mind to be fixed and focused on him in the hardship. Why? In him, I have peace. He gives the peace that passes all of his time. People say, all these things are going on in your life. How can you be so calm? I've got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul, the children say, amen. Hey, I have peace while I'm in Jesus Christ. He said, in me is peace. But he says, in the world, you're going to have trouble. You and I live in this world, in this organized system of evil designated by Satan. And he has set this thing in place to distract you and to draw your flesh. You turn on the average commercial, they're going to advertise some kind of medicine that you need because your body is not operating the way it should. They're going to advertise some kind of food that you need to have because it's good. They make it look appetizing. You go to the store and say, I want that same sandwich. It looks like a mess. Amen. Well, can you give me the one that they advertise on TV? Oh, no, that one's made with care. Ours is not. Amen. They will advertise you liquor to make it look like it should be drank by you. Amen. Everybody's having fun. They're at the beach with no clothes on. Yay, volleyball. They don't show you Mothers Against Drunk Driving, all the ones that's been killed. They don't show you the alcoholic who's in the gutter over here. They don't show you all the things that go with that. They show you all these models that have all these sleek bodies. And how many people are actually built like that anyway? And they got all the lipstick on and you need to have this Maybelline or whatever it's called. Amen. And you need this mascara, and you need this, all this kind of foolishness to distract you. That is there to get you away from doing the will of God. Now you got to spend a fortune on makeup. By the way, my wife told me what some of that makeup is made of, and it's not good. Amen. But anyway, going on, I'm not trying to ruin y'all makeup day. Amen. All right. In the world, we'll have hardships. Amen. Let me show you that. Job said it this way. Yet a man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job 5:7. Amen. The moment we attempt to do God's will, we're going to face tribulation. Why? In the world, we're going to have tribulations. Number two, we're going to suffer in the hardship as well. We're going to suffer. Go over to 1 Thessalonians 3:4. 1 Thessalonians 3:4. And in 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul couldn't stay with this church long. And so he's writing back to let them know, hey, look, I couldn't be there for a long period of time, but let me give you some instructions. And one of the things he says in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, notice what he says here. Verse 2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Notice this, that no man should be moved by these, what's that word? Afflictions. For yourselves know that we are what? Appointed thereunto. He says, afflictions are appointed to the brother. They're appointed to the Christian. Verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer what? Tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Paul said, remember when we were there, how we got run out of town? That's tribulation. He said, you know about this, amen. He said, I told you it was going to happen, amen. We're going to suffer tribulation. The word suffer means to crowd, to afflict, or to trouble you, amen. How many of y'all have had that happen before because of the gospel? Amen. How many of you have happened that it wasn't your fault? Amen. You have been persecuted. You have suffered. You've been afflicted. Paul said, we should suffer tribulation. It's come to pass. And you know. And you know. Just end it like that. How's your life today, preacher? Well, you know, I got tribulations. And you know how it is. You know how it is. Amen. And you know what the average person can say? Yep, I sure know how it is. How many doesn't have any tribulations? Very few. Very few. Children don't have any. He's shaking his head. Get out of here. Tribulation for them is running out of cookies. That's tribulation. The rapture has just occurred. Amen. No cookies. Hey, in the world we'll have hardships. We'll suffer in the hardship. But then number three, here's another one. Amen. By the way, when we receive Christ, we oppose the devil and tribulation with on the horizon. Well, as soon as we got saved, our car died. And Chris, that was before you got there. My wife and I came to church, got saved in 1991, driving home, and the car died. It never started again. I joked afterwards. I said, the only place it knew how to go was the nightclub, amen. And so it had a cardiac arrest going someplace else beside the nightclub, amen. I can't go back to the nightclub. Ah! Stop. Halt. I'm not going anywhere. We can't go to the club, amen. And we went and got us a new car, amen. We jumped that one, amen. By the way, 1 Peter 4:12, he says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. By the way, don't look at yourself and say, oh, why me? Why not you? Better you than me. Hey, why not you? He says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as some strange thing happened unto you. And we always say, well, Lord, why me? And say, why not you? Why not my neighbor? Why not you? Aren't you more equipped than your neighbor? Getting quiet. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you're more equipped. Amen. If you're saved, you're more equipped. If you're a child of God, you're more equipped. You've got the God of heaven. You've got the God of eternity. You've got the Word of God. You've got the Holy Spirit of God. You're more equipped than your neighbor to handle the hardship. Hey, when the death happens, you should handle it better than them. When the car breaks down, you should handle it better than them. When you lose your job, you should handle it better than them. Why? You've got the God of heaven on your side. And Jesus said, in me, you will have peace. And the world, you'll have tribulation, however. We've got to remember who we're in, amen? Acts 14:22, let's go over there real quick. Entering the kingdom will suffer hardship. Say, preacher, I thought when I got saved, life was supposed to be good. I thought the same thing. I got saved, I thought, no more trouble. It's over. Entering the kingdom, we will have many hardships. Notice chapter 14. Verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Notice this phrase. And that we, the author includes himself, we must through how much tribulation? Not just a little bit. Not just a little bit, but much. That means an abundance. We must, through much tribulation, what? Enter into the kingdom of God. You know what that's saying in essence? We should expect hardships as our cross in life on the road to eternal life. Because we are saved, we have a mark on us. And that mark is Christ-likeness. And the devil and his demons do not like that. You know why? Because you have the capability to get someone else to Christ and get them saved. You have the capability with the gospel message and the Holy Spirit of God to get someone else saved. And he knows that. And so he's going to bring you much tribulation. So you'll say, I don't want anybody to have what I have. And that's his tactic. That's his goal to get you to say, I'm not going to tell anybody because if they get saved, they're going to suffer like me. Amen. But if they don't get saved, they're going to suffer in hell, which is worse than that. Amen. I'm glad somebody came to me and got me saved. Did I suffer tribulation? Yes, I did. Am I suffering tribulation? Yes, I am. But that's the worst I'll ever see. Hallelujah and praise God. That's the worst I'll see. I'm on my way to heaven, amen. This is the worst I will see. No hair, not a lot of money, not a fancy car, not a big house. So what? I got a mansion in heaven. Amen. Hey, it doesn't matter what's going on down here. This is temporal. This is temporary. This is a short time. Is it a hardship sometimes? Yes, it is. But I ought to expect that. I ought to expect it. Entering the kingdom, we'll have many, many tribulation times in our life. The Bible says much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. This is the worst I'll ever see. The best is yet to come. By the way, God is molding you and I into Christ's likeness. Hallelujah. So number one, in the world we'll have hardships. Number two, we'll suffer in the hardship. Number three, entering the kingdom we'll have many hardships. But then number four, our patience is improved by hardships. Romans chapter 5, many of you already know where I'm going. Romans chapter 5. Our patience is improved by hardships. Pastor Bennett used to always say, God gives you children to give you patience. I'm not convinced that he was all wrong. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, notice this, but we glory in what? Tribulations also. What am I saying? Our patience is improved by hardships, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. Patience means to stay under something, to remain with something, to persevere under something, to abide with something. So he says, tribulation works our ability to stay under, remain, persevere. You show me a person that can't persevere, I show you a person that doesn't have any patience. They can't stick with it. People jump from job to job, amen, marriage to marriage. They jump from thing to thing. They've got no stickability. They've got no perseverance. They've got no patience, amen. Can it be worked? Yes. How does it work? Through trials, through hardships. And oftentimes, God's got to put us in the hardship to make us more like Christ. Did Christ give up on the cross? No, he went all the way. And oftentimes we give up when a little hard to, oh, I can crack my nail. Oh, I can't go to work today. Let me call in sick. Oh, boss, oh, yeah, my kids are sick, you liar. Shame on you. You just don't want to go. Persevere. Persevere. Patience is improved by hardship. Not only so, we glory in tribulations, knowing tribulations worketh patience. We're excited about this. God uses tribulation to help us stay on the course and to stay on course and to mature us. Amen. Think of a baby. Once he fell, never got back up again. The baby falls and says, I'm not getting up again. They'll never learn to walk. Never learn to walk. I'm just going to lay right here. Here mother is carrying a 30-year-old grown baby around. What's the matter? He doesn't want to walk. Drop that old bum. Drop that bum. Let him walk. Well, he says he doesn't want to persevere. And you're breaking your back with that 30-year-old bum. Put that bum down and say, get up and walk. Who put my legs? More like your bottom. Amen. What am I saying? Hey, patience. Staying under, remaining, persevere. Tribulation worketh patience. Something happens in our life, we've got to stick through it. We've got to trust God through it. We've got to get through it. Don't give up. Don't quit. The end is still in sight. Say, preacher, I can't see it. You don't need to see it. You just need to trust that it is. Amen. Hey, my hair fell out when I was 18. My mother said, it'll grow back in. I went to boot camp. It grew back in. And then it fell right back out. I said, I don't want you no more if you're going to do that to me, amen. Stay out, amen. And it stayed out since. You know, grow back in to fall out again. I thought, we can't have this. You know? Hey, what am I saying? In heaven, all y'all going to be bald. You just don't know it. Yeah, you don't need, what you need hair for? I function fine without it for years. Some of you that are vain, amen, you're going to be in a shock when you get to heaven. You ever did that? Get in the shower, you slick your hair back, you say, ah! I better poof that stuff back out again. Amen. Amen. Our patience is improved by hardships. But then number five, we should also be patient in the hardship. Go to Romans 12:12. Fast forward a little bit. Romans 12:12. Romans 12:12. Matter of fact, starting verse number 9, he said, let love, he's given a bunch of things that Christians ought to do. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, man. America needs to hear that one right there. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Notice it's patient in what? Tribulation. Continuing in. We want it done now. We go through the drive-thru, man. We want our burger now. Amen. We get up to the counter. We want to be checked out now. All the other counters are moving faster than ours. And we go over here. Then and these are going faster than ours. We go back over here. And then as soon as we get up there, that little light comes on. Somebody in front of us got to do something. And you go right back. We don't want to wait. We got no patience. You got no patience. Then the light comes on, you know, and there's an older person up there or somebody that's got some going on. You're like, price check, price. It's $5. I saw it, $5. Ring it up. Oh, we got to get this. Can we get a manager on here, price check, and they bring it up there? Oh, this one doesn't have a price on it either. Okay. And you could have been in the line. You could have rung your own stuff up. You could have actually manufactured and made it by that time. You know what it is? We don't have no patience. He says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. We get in this hardship, and we want the hardship to dock now, today. God is not in a rush in his sailing business. When you get in that ship, he is not in a rush. Why? It's for your maturity and my spiritual maturity. He is not in a rush when he gets in this ship. Patience to stay under, to remain, persevere. We should be patient in the hardship. Our patience is improved by the hardship. Concerning hardships with our spiritual maturity, Thomas Ward said this, while we cannot control our circumstances, we can control our reaction to those circumstances. How we react in the midst of adversity is a valuable measure of our spiritual maturity. I was reading a devotion this morning. It's called Built on a Rock. Let me share an excerpt of that. It says, he's talking about the wise man, the foolish man building his house on the rock, another one building on the sand. He said, the Christian life is hard work. Christianity involves systematically striving to implement the truths of God's word into your life. Spiritual depth and maturity do not come without consistent effort. As Jesus spoke his Sermon on the Mount, he knew some of his listeners would leave and never apply a word they heard. It goes on to say, it takes great effort to attach a foundation to a rock. A house built on sand provides instant comfort, but building on a rock is laborious and tedious. Building on sand leaves the builder in a vulnerable position, while the one building on the rock is secure. Now notice this. How can you tell what kind of foundation a life has been built on? ? What to watch to see what happens when the storms of life come. I'm sure you've seen them and I've seen them. A trial comes. The one they should turn to is God, and they turn to the world. They're out of church. You can't find them with the FBI, the CIA, or anybody else. Watch to see what happens when the storms of life come. A life built upon the word of God will withstand the very storm that sweeps away the life that does not heed God's word. There are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity, just like there are no shortcuts to a baby growing to a full-grown adult. They've got to go through the teething process. They got to go through the weaning process. They got to go through the walking process. They got to go through the potty process. I wish that was a shortcut that we could cut out, amen? But there is no shortcut. A child is born. They've got to be taught how to eat, how to sleep, how to do all those things. They've got to be taught to tie their shoes. Unless you wear slip-ons like me. That's the cheater's way. Amen. He says, next time you hear Jesus speaking, begin immediately to firmly build his truth into your life so that no storm can unsettle you. Maturity only comes through hard work and obedience to what God says. Maturity. You know when we need maturity at its most? In the hardship. You know why oftentimes we go into the hardship? To mature us. Because if I'm mature, I can handle the hardship. And that's why God sends us into the hardship. Amen. We're moving rapidly now. Amen. Number one, in the world, we'll have hardship. John 16:33. Number two, we'll suffer in the hardship. 1 Thessalonians 3:4. Number three, entering the kingdom, we'll have many hardships. Acts 14:22. Number four, our patience is improved by hardships. Romans 5:3. Number five, we should also be patient in the hardship. Romans 12:12. Then number six, we should remain exceeding joyful in the hardship. This may be the toughest of all. Come, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. How many of y'all get joyful when the hardships come? Yeah. Right, the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, doesn't it? Amen. Hey, I wish I had arrived on that ship. I don't count it all joy. I'm not exceeding joyful like the scripture says. Notice what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And pick it up with number 4. Paul says this. He's writing to 2 Corinthians about their offense that they had felt that he did towards them. But they got right with God. Notice verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am, what's that word? Exceeding joyful in all our what? Exceeding joyful, Paul, really? Exceeding means to overflow or superabound. Joyful means cheerful, glad, calm delight. Paul says, you know what? I'm glad. I'm really excited about this. I'm cheerful. I got a calm delight about this. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side with outward fightings within fears. Nevertheless, God, that notice this, comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. Paul says, I can have exceeding joy in my tribulation because God is my source of comfort. I don't know about you, but God is my source of comfort too, and he ought to be yours. Why? It's going to get tough, folks. It's going to get tough. It's going to get tough, and that's probably the toughest one. Paul had the right spirit. We should too, knowing the end result. It's not going to be this way forever. We look at it like it's forever. Folks, eternity is forever. We look at a hardship. This is never going to end. It will. Just as sure as yesterday ended, today is going to end. And tomorrow will come if the Lord tarries, is coming. And it will end. I like this last one. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 as we close. We can be comforted in the hardship. Paul said, I'm exceeding joyful in this hardship, but we can be comforted in the hardship. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, Paul writing about God being the source of all comfort. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Notice that, mercies. And the God of how much comfort? All comfort. When your friends don't know how to comfort you, God does. When your husband doesn't know how to comfort you, God does. When your wife doesn't know how to comfort you, God does. When your children don't know how to comfort you, God does. When the boss doesn't know how to comfort you, God does. When nobody else knows how to comfort you, God is the holder of all comfort in hardships. And people aren't going to always know what it takes to comfort you. They're not going to know how to satisfy you, how to please you. But God does. God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us in how much? All our tribulation. He said, I don't care what the hardship that you're sailing in. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a death. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe something tragic has happened. I don't know, but I know this. I am the God of all comfort. And I'll comfort you in all your tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Paul said, I can comfort you because God comforted me. And you know, God oftentimes comforts you in the hardship so he can comfort somebody else in the hardship. He lets you go through some things so you can comfort somebody else. Hey, I don't know about you. I went through the hardship of alcohol. And my job is to comfort anybody that's been in that ship. That is a bad ship to be in. That is a horrible ship to be in. It's bad. I've been in the drug ship. I can comfort someone that's been in the drug ship. That's a horrible ship to be in. But I can comfort you. I got comfort me. He showed me mercy. He worked in my heart. He did something special in me. And I can comfort you. I can say, look, let me. I don't have the answers, but I know who does. I can't help you stop that habit, but I tell you who can. The same one who stopped me. And it didn't do any good for me, and it's not going to do you any good. We can be comforted in the hardship. Comfort means to exhort or to console. Thomas Ward said this, if we're going to learn to be an encouragement to others who are facing hardships, we must face some ourselves. We must face some ourselves. You know, I'm so glad that God gave me Pastor White. Well, Pastor and Mrs. White, they lost their parents at a young age. And they can give something that I can't give. I never lost parents at a young age. And he and his wife did. And they can comfort someone in a way that I can't. They can understand in a way that I can't. They can say some things that I can't. What I say is just theory.
Because I've not been in that hardship. And when you've not been in that hardship, it's hard to give what you don't have. But God has blessed and given me someone that can sail that ship alongside you and comfort you. I like the way Revelation says it. And this is John speaking, Revelation 1:9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. John writing to the seven churches, he said, I'm your companion in tribulation. I'm suffering too. I'm suffering. I know you seven churches are suffering. He said, but I'm your companion. I'm your brother. I'm suffering too. Hey, oftentimes we have to encourage each other. I'm not going to join and say, well, I know what's going on and I understand, because I don't sometimes. But I know who does. I know who does. And I may not be able to comfort you the way you need to be comforted in your hardship, but I know who can. I know who can. His name is Jesus. And he's the one that started all this. He said, in the world you have tribulation. He said, but in me, you'll have peace. He said, I've overcome the world. Folks, there's going to be some hardships that we're going to sail. And yours may be different from someone else's. It may be a little bit more difficult than someone else's. You may think it's harder than someone else's. You may think it's easier. Nonetheless, it's going to be a hardship. And what's a hardship to you may not be a hardship to me, and vice versa. But God knows the ship that you're sailing. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've given you my peace. Giving you my power. Giving you my word. You have everything you need to sail in the hardship. And God's not going to put us in the hardship just for no reason at all. There's always a purpose. There's always a reason. And the reason is normally Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to become just like Jesus Christ, his son. Conforming to the image of Jesus Christ, his son. I don't know about you, but I've had my share of hardships. Will I have some more? Yes, I will. You've had your share, I'm sure. Will you have more? Yes, you will. Maybe you're coming out of one. Maybe you're in the midst of one. Maybe you're going into one. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a loss of a mom or dad, a sister or brother. Maybe it's a debilitating illness. Maybe it's one of those things like cancer that you're stuck with for the rest of your life. I don't know what hardship you're in, but I can tell you this, God does know. God knows. And God wants to take you all the way through the storm and the hardship. But you've got to trust him. Abide in the ship. Don't abandon ship. Is it an easy one to sail in? No, but it makes you more mature. I didn't like seeing my children fall and get hurt when they were learning how to walk. But you know what? They're still here. The walk actually toughened them up. Our hardship spiritually toughens us up and makes us more like Christ. But friend, if you're not saved here today, you're in the hardest ship of all. You need to get saved today. Because ahead of this life of hardships is an eternity in the hardest ship of all. And that's separation from God forever in a place called hell. And God didn't create hell for you. He created a lake of fire for the devil and his angels. But all that sail this life without Jesus Christ and die without Christ, that's where you will go. And God loves you too much to want you to go there. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Folks, that's the worst ship to be in, is the ship without Jesus Christ. But you can change that today. You can accept Christ as your Savior today. And you'll get not just heaven as your home, but he'll sail with you through your hardship. I'm not going to say he's going to solve all your problems, but he will sail alongside you and be your companion in tribulation. And he'll help you get through this time. Folks, we need Jesus. We need his word. We need his spirit. We need his guidance in the hardship. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around just for a moment. Father, bless now the next moments of invitation. Lord, I don't know where each soul is at here today in regards to hardships, but I do know that we are going to face them if we're not facing them already. I pray for each man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice that you would help them navigate through the hardships that they find themselves in and find comfort in the Word of God. Bless now these moments that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. I mean, it would say, preacher, you know, life is bad, but I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I've got some questions about that. If I died right now, I'm not really sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned. Would you pray for me in your closing prayer? Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Just raise your hand for a moment. I'll acknowledge it. And you can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl, every head's bowed and every eye's closed. And we're looking around. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I'm concerned about it. Please pray for me. All across the room, man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen. Next question, preacher. I'm either in a hardship, I'm coming out of a hardship, or I'm about to go into a hardship. But pray that I can be physically strong for the next hardship or the current hardship that I'm in. Pray for me this morning, preacher. Anyone like that at all? Preacher, I'm in one, coming out of one, about to go in one. Pray for me. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. You may put them down. Father, only you know the hardships that each member is facing here today. Some may be more traumatic than the others from our vantage point and our point of view. Lord, nonetheless, it's a hardship to them. And God, I pray that you would come alongside and show them your comfort. Show them your guidance. Show them your word. Show them your spirit. Lord, bring them a companion that can comfort them through this trial, through this tribulation, through this hardship. And then when they're through, Lord, help them to be able to comfort someone with the same comfort that you gave them. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Savior. Lord, there's someone today without Jesus Christ. Save that man, woman, boy, or girl. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. As Natasha plays the hymn of invitation, you let God speak to your heart. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray for a loved one that is going through a hardship. The altar's open. You can come and pray. Maybe you need to pray for a husband. Maybe you need to pray for a wife going through a hardship. Maybe someone going through a divorce. Maybe someone facing a death. Maybe someone with a medical hardship. Maybe someone with an occupational hardship. They've lost their job. Maybe someone with a marital hardship. The marriage is on the rocks. Maybe you need to pray for them. Maybe you yourself are facing a hardship. Life's just tough right now in your ship. You don't see the end of the road. Maybe you just need to come and kneel and say, Lord, give me grace for the ship. Give me grace for the trip. Lord, have mercy on me. Comfort me where I'm weak. Comfort me when I'm thinking about abandoning ship. And help me through this time of trial and testing. James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Paul said, tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, experience, hope. Hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I don't know about you, but I know I'll face another hardship and I want to face it successfully. I want God to navigate me. I want God to guide me. I want God to steer me through the storm of life. I know it's coming. It's on the horizon. Oh, friend, but don't mix up an inconvenience with a hardship. Hardship's totally different. This is something that's difficult for you to bear. This is hard for you to get through. And oftentimes you can't get through it without Jesus Christ's help and his intervention. It's devastating in your life. It's pressure. It's tough. But we have the God of all comfort. God of all comfort. Comforts us in all our tribulation. Not just some tribulation, but all our tribulation. What a blessing to have a God like that. John said, I'm your companion in tribulation. Oh, we need companions in our tribulation. We need someone to come alongside and help us out. We need that friend. We need that husband. We need that wife. We need that child. We need that mentor. We need that friend. We need that person to help. Be a blessing. be an encouragement. Father, thank you. Lord, throughout my life, you've been my comfort. You sustained me through every hardship that I faced. Lord, I've grown in areas, and I've matured in other areas. But, oh God, I've got so far to go. Lord, each new hardship that you bring my way, and the brothers and the sisters under the sound of my voice, it's a chance for us to grow and to trust you a little bit more. We'll see Job and how he grew. But God, help us to not look at the hardship as just a waste of our time, but as truly a test of our faith and a test of the grace of God and its ability to sustain us. Lord, thank you for the truth of the Word of God that we can continue to hang on to. Lord, thank you for surrounding us with companions in tribulation. And although we may not understand what each other is going through, Lord, we can still encourage one another and point them to Jesus. We can say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, thank you that you're the one that we all can hang on. One day, Lord, this will all be behind us. The sun will set on this earth. We'll awaken glory. And we'll look at what you designed each tribulation and each trial for. And we'll look to see what you tried to attempt in our lives and what you tried to do in our lives. And like Job, we'll be able to look back and sense and see what you've worked. Oh God, help us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, keeping on the whole armor of God. And thank you for being a gracious, gracious God. More times when many of us have wanted to quit, you've been there. You've picked us up. You've held us. You've taken us along the road. And our worst, you were at your best. Lord, for that we thank you and ask that you bless each hardship in this room and help each person to trust you through this hardship time. God, it's not a thing that we like. It's not a thing that we like to talk about. Nonetheless, it is real. And the hardships are strong. So help us, Lord, in your mercy, in your grace, to be what we need to be. Thank you for giving me what I needed to go through this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I appreciate